latest in college esports from the students that play.
Go behind the scenes at the school's that game.
The only place where esports are
on
campus.
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to another illustrious episode of Checkpoint XP on Campus. Your host, Norris Howard, here, alongside with the other two amigos, Jacob Brothers and Daniel Agbuya. How's it going, guys?
How's it going, everybody?
We are fragging.
We are indeed fragging, but we got to take a turn and look at what we've been examining for the past few weeks, which is the Overwatch Collegiate Clash. You knew where we're going to start the show with it because it's still going on. This was the last week of, really, if we're going to call it regular season play, we can't really call it a season.
It's basically that.
But it's basically that. Our last week of regular brackets, and as usual, Utah comes out on top, but I don't want us to focus so much on Utah. We've talked a lot about Utah. We know how good they are. We've spoken to their players. We know what their game plan is, and they've executed it to the fullest extent. They've only now not won, what is it, two out of the total seven weeks that we've had this bracket.
They've won like five of them.
Yeah, and one of which they weren't even there. So take that for what it is. But the one thing I want us to focus on here, before we get our Andromeda brain, Jacob, to dive deep into some of the match results, I want us to look forward here into the future. We see these brackets, we see a lot of these tournaments shaping up the way they're shaping up, and teams are emerging as powerhouse teams. Utah is so good that I wonder, can this tournament, can this format end up almost boring to watch because you know what's about to happen? How do you guys feel about that?
Well,
this
I think
format?
Yeah, I mean, just format, the fact that that Utah is in it virtually every week, right? As opposed to say, let's say Utah only plays for 4 weeks instead of six. UT Dallas has played, what, 3 weeks out of the seven? It hasn't played nearly as much as UNLV or some other teams. So with this format, it seems like certain teams are naturally going to have advantage because they're simply playing more and they're seeing more of their opponents. If I'm playing the same person six, seven times, I know for a fact I'm going to be breaking down how they play and deconstructing their strategies. So
you're going to download them.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, do you guys think that maybe, you know, for next year or in the fall, if they continue to do this, that the format needs to be changed up a little bit from UMG?
I think my biggest issue is, like, I need some consistency here because, like, certain teams, like you said, only play only 3 weeks out of the entire thing. Like, if you're going to have an invitational, make sure it's going to be teams that you're going to see on a regular basis. Set your bye limits. Like, okay, everything gets two bye weeks. And then, at least then, at the very least, you have a better chance of like seeing the same consistency. I just want consistency in this tournament. That's all I wanted to see.
I do think they do need to do a better job of organizing their teams. Because, I mean, like, because this was run phenomenally. It's so easy to watch. Like, Collegiate Clash itself is phenomenal. But they faltered in picking their teams, and they faltered in scheduling their teams. Because, like, University of Akron played 1 week. And they got 4 points in their 1 week. And if you just go off of that, they probably could have placed above CU Boulder and Texas A&M if they had played the same amount of weeks. So it's a little weird. And for Utah, say if they had gotten like Harrisburg and Maryville in this tournament as well, completely different story. Because I promise that Utah, Maryville, and Harrisburg all would have gotten at least like a week win. And so it would have been more interesting. So this was more like watching like the Patriots division. You know, where it's like, you know who's going to win, and you know that the other teams are not. So that did make this, unfortunately, boring. And we even have our eight seeds, and, like, there's only a case for, like, two of the other teams besides Utah.
Yeah, and that's sort of that's sort of my issue. Daniel, you were about to jump in there.
Well, I was just going to ask a question. Like, you know, I just think about this. Like, what if this were more like, let's say, a March Madness type tournament where you have more teams, invited teams, but you have it in different like brackets. That way you can end up like a Final Four. I would love to see something similar to that for Overwatch.
Well, yeah, because they were all teams that got there for a reason, right? Like, UNLV is not making March Madness because they're not good enough. And some of these teams maybe weren't ready for this tournament. Mm-hmm. And if you had invited more teams that were ready, we probably could have gotten a more robust thing. Because the reason this went the way it did is because all these great teams would knock out anyone they went against in the first round. So say if Mississippi, who I think is a better team than most here, if they played Utah or UNLV in the first round, they're not going anywhere. They're not beating any other team. They're getting no points that week. And that's what happened to Mississippi like 3 weeks in a row. They played the top two teams, and they just didn't get a chance. Or if they had played CU Boulder or Texas or Wichita, they would have won. So it's a little odd. Maybe if they had added like two more teams and had like an extra part to that bracket or something, that could have made it more interesting.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, worried about it. But, I mean, as you said, Jacob, and I completely agree that when the camera cut on and when matches actually began, it was a very entertaining event to watch and a very entertaining group of teams to go up against. But the thing is that Utah, as we said, ended up taking another week. They are feeling a lot like the Patriots. I'm watching the Bulls documentary, man. It feels like that. It feels just like a foregone conclusion, like, oh, wow, Utah's the next match. I already know how that's going. But our Galaxy Brain has the details of the final match. So, Jacob, let us know who they come up against in that final match and how did they end up playing out.
I don't think you'll be able to guess, but it is UNLV versus Utah.
Oh, wow.
Really?
That's absolutely brazy, I know. But before we do that, one thing we didn't touch on that's a little important are the eight teams that are going to playoffs.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, let me just briefly go over that. So it's just, again, you'll be very shocked. First seed, Utah. This goes from first to bottom seed. Utah, UNLV, Mississippi, CU Boulder, Wichita State, Texas A&M, UTD, and Oklahoma. And out of that list, it's Utah, UNLV, Mississippi, UTD.
Can I ask you something, Jacob?
Yes.
I noticed that when you were looking at the points, Boise State and Oklahoma actually had the same amount of points. Why did Boise State like not make the final cut?
So was it the tiebreaker? I think what it was is that Oklahoma went deeper into the tournament or played more matches. It was something like that. It was some technicality. Okay. But I mean, Boise State never won a first round. So that was probably the better call.
Well, anyway, and the thing that kind of also frustrates me is that you have a team like UTD, which we know is a strong team and is a contender for being the third best team in this entire tournament. And yet they have to go in as a six seed because they simply didn't have as many points as everybody else.
Think about it. UTD could have been Akron. They could have played 1 week and not even been in the tournament.
Yeah. So that's continues to be frustrating. But let's get into this final match and see how this went. How did Utah come out on top once more?
Well, they rolled. It was a 3-0, and to be honest with you, I mean, two of the games were like kind of close, and I think it always just comes down to Utah's positioning. Like, Cool ABC again didn't play May, he played Reaper, and I think that there's a special benefit to where your shot caller is also the flanker, because then you get in the right position. It's like, okay, guys, go, as opposed to the shot caller being like, all right, tell me when you're ready to dive, like, pull the trigger.
Yeah, there's definitely some advantages there, because I know there's a lot of shot callers out there that are tanks, and I see the advantages of that, but as somebody who plays a lot of Reinhardt and a lot of D.Va, I ain't paying attention to nothing when I'm tanking. I got right click held down for dear life and I'm ready to roll. That's what I'm doing, and as soon as you see my ultimate is up, I'm clicking Q and let's get it moving. But I really do think that Cool ABC and his position as a shot caller and you know, Jacob, as you illustrated, as a flanker, is really intelligent, because he's able to kind of survey the field before a decision is made on when to jump in. And on a character like Reaper as well, I think that's double beneficial, because if you're not shooting, Reaper is literally not doing anything. He's literally just moving. It's somebody that he's in, he's out, and that's it. So I think it actually benefited them quite a bit when you're looking at their style of play over the past week, that it really did help them to have Cool ABC be on that Reaper, because when he was on May against UNLV a couple weeks ago, he was a little confused because UNLV would dive him. He couldn't slow them down quick enough, mm-hmm. and he couldn't survey the battlefield quick enough. So I think switching over to Reaper was very intelligent for them this weekend.
Well, what I think what this like this particular final came down to is that, one, the hero pool was different. I think that's an undeniable fact. You have Andy back on the Moira, so he's not dying anymore. That alone is enough. But also, I think Utah in particular are very talented at dividing the enemy team. Because Cool ABC, even if it's May, if it's Reaper, it doesn't matter. May has the very physical version of putting up a literal wall. But with Reaper also being a flank, you're able to divert their attention to a different person than who the rest of the team is engaging. And so I think the reason why Utah does so well is that they position themselves in a way to where they can cause the team to not fully focus on one person. And then they collapse on him. And then also in this finals, besides the hero pool, UNLV wasn't on all cylinders. Like, I think last week was this perfect storm of Wild Wing Bat on Genji could not lose, and he just rolled with the Nano Blade, and this week that did not happen. But I will say Karma is he's the healer for UNLV. That is a player that we've been sleeping on significantly. Karma is one of their big three, I've come to determine, when he plays Ana. Because he does not miss, he lands all the purples, and even in game two of the finals, like, UNLV had a good chance. Like, they show life. Like, this playoffs, they will have a legitimate chance. And just that Utah knows how to track ults, they know how to avoid ults, and they're just in the right place, and then they just, you know, click on them, more or less.
Right. Well, we're going into the championship bracket of the Overwatch Collegiate Clash. I gotta ask who's everybody's pick, but I don't want to because I know who everybody's gonna pick. So I'll say this. If there is a team poised to upset Utah, who is it?
Dallas. Definitely Dallas.
I gotta give it a chance to UNLV because, again, they beat them once. They are the ones that, you know, showed that, hey, we win once. They could have that magical moment again in the finals. You know?
I will say this. If the hero pool allows for a dive, UNLV has a chance.
If Dunyak can play Wrecking Ball, they have a chance.
Any other composition, I think UNLV will struggle. And I think if they go up against UT Dallas, they will not beat UT Dallas. And UT Dallas has the best chance. But if dive is on the table, UNLV has a very strong chance to walk away with this. But that's going to be it for our conversation about the Overwatch Collegiate Clash. The next time you hear from us about this, we will have a champion crowned in the Overwatch Collegiate Clash. So make sure that you guys stick around for that. There is scholarship cash on the line. So make sure you guys tune into that. That's over at the UMG Gaming Twitch channel where you can see everything going on. They usually put the matches up on Fridays, but we've seen them go up on Saturdays sometimes, so we can't necessarily go out and say unequivocally what day it's going to be on, but if you give them a follow, you should get the alert when that channel goes live for that championship bracket. But
I look forward to Utah's victory.
Well, it can be depressing sometimes, but we got to hope for the best. But coming up next on Checkpoint XP on campus, we are going to have a quick conversation about the Michigan Esports Conference and what that organization is going to mean for the landscape of esports in the Midwest. And later on, we're going to be talking about the cancellation of EVO, the biggest fighting game tournament in the world, which also happens to be in these guys' hometown of Las Vegas, Nevada. So we're going to be right back with those conversations coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, it's Weird Beard from Checkpoint XP reminding you to make it blue. Help say thank you to our heroes on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic. Whether you're streaming, drawing, singing, cooking, or anything else, showcase your talents and hashtag light it blue. You can find more information at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. Your host, Norris Howard, here. And don't forget to check out our website, checkpointxp.com, where you can find all sorts of stories in the world of college esports and just esports in general, as well as some really cool, fun lifestyle and gaming lifestyle articles. You can also check out our shop as well as a repository of all of our shows. So, make sure you slide over to our website, checkpointxp.com. Now, we wanted to quickly touch on this because this is a pretty interesting story coming out of Michigan, where a few schools in the state have decided to band together, six schools in particular, to create the Michigan Esports Conference, the MEC. This is, as far as we know here at Checkpoint XP on campus, the only officially sanctioned varsity esports conference in the Midwest. So we know the Mountain West Conference has a esports wing out in the western part of the United States that includes UNLV and many other schools such as Colorado State and others, Boise State. But this is one of the first in the eastern parts of the United States here in the Midwest. So, guys, I just briefly wanted to ask you, how do you feel about this, about the organization of new conferences around esports? And do you think this will help with organization, or will people just continue to get more confused?
I think this is a step in the right direction. When we have conferences, we have teams we can follow. And then when people win those conferences, then we go like, okay, here's a top team in this conference. Let's invite them to this invitational tournament. I think this is a great idea.
I think in a perfect world, it would be best if it's just like that direct conference. Like if the Big Ten has the Big Ten Esports Conference, that would make life easier. But still, yeah, grouping schools together, never a bad thing. We always love to hear it. Aquinas College, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm. Friends of the show. And now that you bring that up, the members of the Michigan Esports Conference are Aquinas College, Northwood University, Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Davenport University, and Michigan Technological University, Michigan Tech, we call it.
And Kettering University also.
And Kettering University as well. Thank you very much.
So, question from the crowd.
Yes.
So, because I don't know much about traditional college sports, do any of these schools have a known sports program outside of esports that have done well?
I believe Northwood does, but they are not a, I don't even think they're a D1 school.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
So you bring up an interesting point, and this is exactly where I was going to go with this. Ooh. Is that with these new conferences, do you probably start to see new schools emerge as powerhouses? Mm-hmm. Because as we sit back and look as esports continues to grow, the schools that are emerging as strong programs are not the schools that you would think. Everybody would assume that your Alabamas, your U of M's, Ohio State's, your Penn State's, you know, a lot of these big, huge college football or college basketball schools, Syracuse, you know, stuff like that, would also have these really strong esports programs. But that simply doesn't seem to be the case. In fact, most of the schools that you're seeing hitting a lot of headlines are schools that many people have never heard of. Your Maryvilles, your Harrisburgs, your Northwoods, Aquinas's. And that's no disrespect to these institutions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great for them.
Yeah, but they are not known as athletic powerhouses. So I think this is a great move to get the word out about these smaller schools as a promotional vessel, and also, as you guys said, to help organize esports as it continues to grow. But Jacob, I do agree with you that I feel like if the NCAA at least tangentially wanted to get involved by saying Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, Mountain West, whatever, if you guys want to have esports conferences and use those names, go ahead. Because I think the moment that happens, all of these smaller conferences have a very different problem because they're not going to be able to compete.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
Yeah, with the financial power of some of those big conferences. So I think this is really interesting, and we're going to follow this story more as we approach the summer and fall, seeing how everything is taking shape. And of course, we're also going to try to talk to the members of this esports conference later on in the future. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Now, coming up, I'm going to take a quick change of gears as myself and Daniel are going to lament the lack of fighting games here in the COVID-19 outbreak. EVO 2020 is canceled. We're going to break it all down. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP on Campus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hello everyone, it's Mother's Day this Sunday, and on behalf of Checkpoint XP on Campus, I will be recreating the spaghetti carbonara recipe from our favorite video game cooking mother, drumroll please, cooking mama. I'm Diane, and let's get started.
You will need bacon, butter, milk, salt and pepper, cheese, eggs, water, and of course, pasta.
For the first step, you're gonna need a pasta machine. But I don't have that, so I skipped that.
So now we're on to boiling pasta at medium heat until it's soft. Done! The pasta is ready. The next step is to chop your bacon. And voila! Now for the part that I personally struggled with, cracking eggs. I did it! Now it's time to whisk the ingredients. We have egg, cheese, fresh cream, and salt. Perfecto! Finally, we mix all our ingredients into one pan, or in my case, one pot. And now, for the moment of truth, I present to you my finished product. And that, everyone, is how you can recreate Cookie Mama's spaghetti carbonara recipe. I'm Diane from Checkpoint XP on Campus, and I hope you have a happy Mother's Day.
When it comes to esports, we know that there are teams that are good, but they may not necessarily be the teams that have the biggest followings. Is the lifestyle angle really the way that esports should be looking at this? Or will there be teams that get popular just because they're good, or more profitable just because they're good?
Yeah, I would say that if a point of owning an esport organization is to make a return on your investment and become a way to monetize, that you have to be speaking more as a true lifestyle brand. So, right. So you brought up FaZe. To me, FaZe knocks it out of the ballpark, but it's a little bit different, right? FaZe is what I would truly call an entertainment conglomerate. You now see them building out FaZe Studio. You see a lot of music drops with Offset and Lil Yachty that happen to be starting off in gaming culture and then truly transcended out of gaming and esports, such that the esports piece is almost just kind of hidden now within the FaZe lifestyle.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. But we wanted to talk about one of the big cancellations because of the novel coronavirus that still ravages across the country, with the United States now at number one for total infections. So continue to be vigilant. Continue to be vigilant. Continue to wash your hands. Continue to self-isolate. Please stay at home. If you do not have to go out, please stay at home, because the virus is still out there, guys. So make sure you're very, very careful. But we wanted to talk about a big event that is now being canceled all the way in August. So the end of the summer is seeing effects of this. And that is the EVO Championship Series, the biggest fighting game tournament in the world. Usually over 20 games get representation at EVO. All of them, of course, do not see the main stage, but you got a ton of games every year. People come from all over the world and descend upon the Mandalay Bay and the Luxor Hotel and Resorts in Las Vegas. And this cancellation, guys, is one that obviously hurts me personally. I was looking forward to going this year. I couldn't wait to go this year. But beyond that, every other esport has seemingly found a way to continue to proliferate, continue to grow, and continue to have their professional scenes. Fighting games has ground to a halt. We have seen no premier level tournaments, final round canceled, CEO pushed back to December. Combo Breaker canceled. And so now we will see we will virtually have no premier fighting game tournaments in the year of 2020. That's heartbreaking, man. Like, that sucks.
Associate myself with you fighting game people, but I am very heartbroken over EVO. I follow Tekken, just the game itself, on Twitch, just because I just love watching it. And this is gonna be my first year going. I was just gonna scream when, like, you know, Kirby would like hit someone. Like, I was ready, and now I'm sad.
So I've been going to EVO for like the past 5 years. It's literally like my Christmas every year to myself, because I get to go, I get to cover it. This one hurts a lot. It really does. I like it. I may be playing it up, but I am legit like saddened. But I want to say this. I do commend the Cannon Brothers and Mr. Wizard for taking the precautions that we need to do for this pandemic. I'm saddened, but I'm glad they are keeping our health in mind.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the biggest thing here is that it hurts more because there isn't any alternative. There's no replacement.
Yeah. Well, it's Nintendo Online.
No,
let me get to that, because it has not been canceled outright. EVO 2020 will take place in an online environment. Nobody wants that, and let me explain why. Unlike MOBAs and shooters and many other games, the preciseness of input required for fighting games is unlike any other games really on the market. You're talking about a genre of game where people measure things in frames, as in 1/60th of a second. That is how precise we get in terms of fighting games. And Street Fighter, Smash Ultimate, many of the biggest games that were going to be on the main stage of EVO have been riddled with netcode issues. It has been the singular totem pole for which the fighting game community all agrees on, is that you cannot have bad netcode in 2020. And yet, we are supposed to have the largest fighting game tournament in the world completely online. I'm flabbergasted.
We actually talked about this on my podcast, New Game Plus. We are not looking forward to watching stuttering rollback. It's going to be a, I'm trying to watch my language here, it's going to be a crap show, to say the least. And I can't wait to see Grand Finals of Smash and we have like match tournament point and somebody disconnects. What do we do then? I don't want the winner of Smash to be turned on a DQ win. That's going to be terrible.
But it's a distinct possibility. Mm. And no matter how many closed servers you make for fighting games, the number one choice is to play locally, is to play on the same machine with just a HDMI splitter on two screens. That's the only way to really do it and not have to worry about these issues. But it does feel really bad that this is the decision and this is the way that it has to go. But I think the bigger issue here is that I'm continually saddened because once again, the FGC gets the short end of the stick. Mm-hmm. Esports chugs right on along. Everybody gets to still have their, you know, at least their seasons, you know, MSI and is canceled for League of Legends. The International for Dota 2 has been canceled, but games are still having seasons. They're still able to have pro level play. Overwatch League is still going on. The FGC just gets nothing. And so you have a group of people that were making their living off of this community. And not just players. We're talking about venues, tournament organizers, sponsors. We're talking about a lot of people that were looking forward to seeing a lot of this go down. And it's just going to suck, man. And Evo was E3 for fighting games, man. It became more than just a series of tournaments. It's a celebration of fighting games, which is the foundation of esports. And I'm going to say it again. Fighting games are the foundation of esports.
Louder for the people in the back.
Absolutely. And it's a celebration. I was looking forward to seeing the character reveal trailers and the new game announcements and the DLC announcements. And we're going to have to get through that some other way. But word out to Jeff Keighley for trying to keep that culture alive with the Summer Games event that he's putting together. So hopefully we get some fighting game announcements from there. But we'll pour one out for Evo 2020. F's in the chat. And we hope that in 2021, fighting games can come back strong. And Alex Jabaley, please make sure the CEO goes off because I don't know if I could deal with no majors for the whole year. I'm going to be so upset. But that's going to be it for Checkpoint XP on campus. We're going to end it on a down note. We'll have our producer, Weird Beard. I would like a fade to black at the end of this one. That'd be nice. But that's going to be it for Checkpoint XP on campus this week. Word out, obviously, to Daniel and Jacob for all the hard work they do on the show, as well as the behind-the-scenes production team that put together all the vignettes that you see that are now going in between the show. I want to give a special thanks out to those guys because they do a lot of hard work and don't necessarily get to be seen or heard on the show as much as they should. So thanks out to those guys and to all of the faculty that assists at UNLV and our producer, Weird Beard, who helps us out with all of our video production here in Michigan. So we hope, we demand that you return back for another episode of Checkpoint XP on campus, and happy Mother's Day.
Sure you can.
King of Fighters is a relevant franchise.
I don't even care anymore.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.